we sing, to proclaim that our hope is built on nothing less but your blood and your righteousness. Father, I ask that you would give each of us hope. Lord, I ask that those who lost the loved one would feel your hope, knowing that they are in your arms. Give comfort to the family. And Lord, I ask that you would give hope to all the students who are looking ahead of what lies before them with studying and papers and deadlines. And Lord, I ask that you would give them a clear mind to study. And Lord, give them that hope that you are with them and that you are our helper. May they feel your arms surround them, and even in the midst of all that needs to be done, there is your peace. Lord, sometimes life is hard. Sometimes there are storms, some we know are coming, and some that hit us without us seeing they were coming. But Lord, we know from your scripture that amidst it all, you can be our peace. And as we fix our gaze on you, we can find that peace, Lord, that all of us long for. And so fill our hearts with your hope, peace, and your strength for the next step. Give us wisdom in all our upcoming decisions. And Lord, thank you for being God. And thank you that we are not. And forgive us when we think, well, maybe I can step into that spot and give a little direction here, because I'm not so much liking the way it's going. Help us to step back and to say, I trust you, and I need you in this, and I know you will see me through. So Lord, we thank you for this day, to be here to worship in one body, in one heartbeat, and in one voice, proclaiming that you are Lord. Hear our proclamations and hear our prayers, and it's in your name, as you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The doxology or prayer? Oh, the offering prayer. Lord, thank you for giving to us so generously. And Lord, may we know that we can never outgive you. And so help us to be generous. And may we give with a cheerful heart. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And waking up, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Be silent, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?"
Amen. Now, if you would join us in "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." This was written by a preacher, Joseph M. Triven, and he wrote this as a poem because his mother was living in Ireland and he was living in Canada. And so he wrote this to give her some strength and just his affection. To care, everything to God in mind. He said to them, "Let's go across to the other side." Now, where was Jesus in this fierce storm? Sleeping. He had been preaching to the crowds all day. So we do see his humanity. He was tired. Sleeping. I can't help to think that he had Psalms 4:8 tucked in his heart. "In peace, I will lay down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, keep me safe." We see in verse 38 that he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Now, we read it like that. Don't you think it was more like, "Teacher, we're perishing, don't you care? We're going to drown." I mean, I see so much emotion. And in this, what are they assuming? They're assuming we're going to die. We're going to drown. Now in Matthew, it says, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." And in Luke, they say, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." Jennifer Rothschild has said about this, "God is not the I feel, but he is the I am." They assumed they were going to die. And another verse that I'm reminded of is Psalms 93:4. "But mightier than the violent raging of the seas, mightier than beakers on the shore, the Lord above is mightier than these." He is mightier than the storm. And as I was meditating on, as I was just reading through it and saying, "Lord, show me new things and reveal what you want me to see," I had to ask myself, what do I believe about God when storms come? Now remember, the disciples had seen Jesus heal the sick, cast out evil spirits. They heard him preach and teach. And yet their response was fear. On October 17th, 1735, John Wesley and his brother Charles set sail from England to Savannah, Georgia, to share Christ with the Indians. It was a four-month journey. Suddenly, a storm came up and broke the main mast. John witnessed a group of Englishmen crying and panicking. And then he saw a group of Moravians calmly singing and praying. John was so impressed by their personal faith in the midst of a life-threatening storm. He became convinced of his inner weakness, while the Moravians seemed to possess an inner strength he did not have. He wrote in his journal, "It was then that I realized mine was a dry land, fair-weathered faith." Now, the Moravians, when I read that story, I'm like, well, who are the Moravians? They were a German-speaking Protestants, and they were the first Protestants predating the Lutherans by 100 years. In verse 39, we see, another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Filled with awe. I never want to lose that awe that I feel through a storm, through a calm, when I sit in my sanctuary chair and I have my Bible. With us and meets us. Bill Hybels said, "Storms draw something out of us. The calm seas don't." It's where we meet our God. As I was preparing this, I was prayerful about the many storms faced in the congregation in Pinckneyville and faced in the congregation here. Loss, health concerns, what does the future hold? Our boats fill up with water and begin to crash around. And we can be in that boat saying, "Don't you care?" As I was preparing this, one of my best friends, who I love him like a brother, he and I did youth ministry for years together. We would go to camps, and, you know, he was the guy who packed his trailer filled with just fun stuff, and we just had a ball doing youth ministry for many years. Good friends. I got a phone call from his wife, and a year ago, he found out that he had chordoma. Now, chordoma, it's a rare and aggressive tumors on your brain and on your spine. His life, as he knew it, was changed forever. He was a fireman. He was a paramedic. He always worked on his father's farm, and he owned a farm outside. And things changed. He had many painful treatments. Carrie really wasn't sure if he was even going to make it. He talked about spinal headaches. And he said, "If there is anybody in your congregation that's had a spinal headache, they know exactly what I'm talking about." He said, "The pain is so fierce." The only relief he ever got, and it was a short relief, was sitting in a dark room, very still, not moving. And I know he was thinking, "Be still and know that I am God." have a year or I could have 10 years. But whatever happens, I trust in his loving arms wrapped around me. That unshakable faith that can be found in him. I would like to share some verses from John Newton's song, He's the Man Who Also Wrote America. close with a hymn, Standing by the Storm. Let's see what I do with my papers here. I would like to share a little bit about this man, Stand By Me. It was written in 1905 by Charles Albert Tinley. He was a self-taught man, never graduating from college or seminary. Yet he read more than 8,000 books in his library. And he was awarded 2 honorary doctorates of divinity. His mother died when he was 2 years old. And he and his father were never slaves. They were hired workers that worked among the slaves. And so he saw the hard life of what that meant. Later, he had been a janitor at a church for 15 years. He learned Hebrew. He learned Greek. And they appointed him pastor of a Methodist church. Now, some people were a little bit leery of that decision. Wait a minute, you're our pastor? But he preached with such power, the church grew and grew. And he had a thirst for learning. He had a thirst for knowing God, and he proclaimed it. So what a powerful story that goes with Stand By Me. He knows what that means. So it Stand, we'll sing this song. May the storms you weathered feel seen and validated. May you find compassion for the storms others endured. May you be curious as you open up to the light. May the rain that falls on you be your baptism. Your tears bring release. They're salt, a reminder of your strength. May your strength